Citadel of Lost Ships by Lee Douglas Brackett. This story was first published in Planet Stories, March 1943. Part 1. Roy Campbell woke painfully. His body made a blind, instinctive lunge for the control panel, and it was only when his hand struck the smooth, hard mud of the wall that he realized he wasn't in his ship any longer, and that the Space Guard wasn't chasing him, their guns hammering death. He leaned against the wall, the perspiration thick on his heavy chest, his eyes wide and remembering. He could feel again as though the running fight were still happening, the bucking of his sleek Fitz Southern beneath the calm control of his hands. He could remember the pencil rays lashing through the night, searching for him, seeking his life. He could recall the tiny prayer that lingered in his memory as he fought so skillfully, so dangerously, to evade the relentless pursuer. Then there was a hazy period when a blasting cannon had twisted his ship like a wind-tossed leaf, and his head had smashed cruelly against the control panel. And then the slinking minutes when he had raced for safety, and then the sodden hours when sleep was the only thing in the universe that he craved. He sank back on the hide-frame cot with something between a laugh and a curse. He was sweating, and his wiry body twitched. He found a cigarette, lit it on the second try, and sat still, listening to his heartbeat slow down. He began to wonder, then, what had wakened him. It was night, the deep indigo night of Venus. Beyond the open hut door, Campbell could see the lehigh trees swaying a little in the hot, slow breeze. It seemed as though the whole night swayed like a dark blue veil. For a long time he didn't hear anything but the far-off screaming of some swamp beast on the kill. Then, sharp and cruel against the blue silence, a drum began to beat. It made Campbell's heart jerk. The sound wasn't loud, but it had a tight, hard quality of savagery, something as primal as the swamp and as alien, no matter how long a man lived with it. The drumming stopped. The second, perhaps, the third ritual prelude. The first must have wakened him. Campbell stared with narrow, dark eyes at the doorway. He'd been with the Kralans only 2 days this time, and he'd slept most of that. Now he realized that in spite of his exhaustion, he had sensed something wrong in the village. Something was wrong, very wrong, when the drum beat that way in the sticky night. He pulled on his short black spaceman's boots and went out of the hut. No one moved in the village. Thatch rustled softly in the slow wind, and that was the only sign of life. Campbell turned into a path under the whispering lehigh trees. He wore nothing but the tight black pants of his space garb, and the hot wind lay on his skin like soft hands. He filled his lungs with it. It smelled of warm, still water, and green growing things, and freedom. Above all, freedom. This was one place where a man could still stand on his legs and feel human. The drumming started again, like a man's angry heart beating out of the indigo night. This time it didn't stop. Campbell shivered. The trees parted presently, showing a round, dark hummock. It was lit by the hot flare of burning lehigh pods. Sweet, oily smoke curled up into the branches. There was a sullen glint of water through the trees, but there were closer glints, brighter, fiercer, more deadly. The glinting eyes of men, silent men standing in a circle around the hummock. There was a little man crouched on the mound in the center. His skin had the blue whiteness of skim milk. He wore a kilt of iridescent scales. His face was subtly reptilian.